I'm suiting up!
Welcome to Dr. 3, a Hearthstone podcast dedicated to giving you explosive growth in climbing the standard ranked ladder. I'm your host, Daring Alkaline, and along with me are my fellow hosts, Nikolaius and Mage of Death. Excuse me. I'm on fire already tonight, guys.
Off to a great start.
Wow. Okay, so the first question some of you out there may have is the name. Well, when we came up with the idea for this podcast, all three of us are big fans of Dr. Boom. So we wanted to kind of incorporate that a little bit into our name. So, Doctor, there's three of us, Dr. 3. So that's basically all there is to it. And for those of you who don't know, we wanted to take a little bit of time on our first episode and just kind of give you an introduction to who we are as Hearthstone players. So I'm going to go first. I'm Daring Alkaline. If you're not familiar with me, I used to have a podcast called The Daring Reporter, a weekly Hearthstone podcast roundup. So basically, we used to listen to all the other Hearthstone podcasts and sum it up for everyone. And so I've been podcasting for just under a year consecutively, and I've been chomping and tearing at the bit to get back into it. So when I put out the call to, start up a new project, I was very excited that Nikolaius and Mage were wanting to get on board with this, and it's super excited. But as me, as a Hearthstone player, I'm currently sitting at rank 8. I just had started a new job back in April, and I'm usually a rank 5 to rank 2 to 1 player. I've hit Legend only once, with Shadowrock Shaman back in the Witchwood meta, but I am I'd say more of a combo control style player. I've always been a fan of, really, like, my first love was Wallet Warrior, like, just straight up control warrior. And then I really enjoyed C'Thun Warrior, was another great one from back in the day. So Warrior's probably my favorite class, and playing some form of control style deck has always been really my calling when it comes to card games. I like to be the guy who has all the answers and, just barely hangs on, stabilizes, and turns the game. So that's really...
I hate playing against you.
That's fair. That's fair. I'm not a likable person.
It's quite a no. It's, all in good
fun. Yeah, of course. So, and that's me in a nutshell. Nikolaius?
Yeah, so I started playing Hearthstone about a month before GVG came out. But I was pretty casual back then. I didn't play very much. And then around the time that Mean Streets of Gadgetzan came out, I decided to take the game a little bit more seriously. Up until that point, I had only hit Legend twice. Most of the time, I was just get to rank 5 and then play other games. And after MSOG came out, I decided to put a bit more time into it. And ever since then, in the past 31 months, I've hit Legend 29 times. The two that I didn't were by choice because really, really, really bad metas that I didn't want to play in. I think it was like just before Small Time Buccaneer got nerfed, and then right before the Rogue Quest got nerfed the first time, I stopped. I didn't.
Those were enjoyable times.
mid-range shaman meta. What? That's great.
Yeah, and I finished the top 200 legend probably about 10 or so times. I finished top 100 twice and top 50 once. I've also in the past, when they started the ladder qualifiers for the top 200 players, I've qualified for that two of the past three times. So I'm a pretty high legend player, typically. I don't think I've finished below top 500 in a very long time. I can't even remember. So I'm pretty much in tune with what's going on in the meta around me. I like playing everything. I like winning. So if the aggro decks is what's good, I'm going to play the aggro decks. If it's the control decks, I'm going to play that. Every so often, there's going to be a deck that I fall in love with, and I'm just going to play that. For example, Taunt Druid back at the end of Witchwood and into Boomsday, and then Holy Wrath Paladin even through the nerfs in Rastakhan's Rumble. And then most recently, I've been playing about 2 to 3 months straight of Bomb Warrior. So,
I love Bomb Warrior. It's so much fun. It's really good too. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah, so I think that pretty much sums me up as a player. I am standard only, mostly because Barnes is still a card in Wild, so yeah.
Yeah, I can. Every time I watch anyone play Wild and Big Priest comes up and it's just like Barnes on three with coin, I'm like, this is why I'm not in Wild.
Yeah.
You just have to race them, and you just
I can't deal 30 damage in three turns, Mage. That's not how this game works.
I can do it in five. So if they don't get Barnes, or you have like the silence or something, you're golden.
So let's.
There's ways. I'm just saying there's ways, and it is an incredible feeling when you beat a big priest that plays Barnes. Incredible.
I'll tell you what feels better. Not playing them.
Okay, fair enough.
All right, so let's move into you, Mage. Kind of give us a rundown on who is Mage of Death.
All right, so Mage of Death, I go by Mage. I go by Dwayne, my actual name, all that. I started playing in March of 2016, about a month before Whispers of the Old Gods came out. It was my first collectible card game. I tried it because I was trying to get a mount in Heroes of the Storm, and really enjoyed it and just kept playing it. And now it's my primary game, and I absolutely love it. Went to BlizzCon 2016, and all the people I knew at that point were World of Warcraft players. And so I wanted to help them get into the game. So I started streaming after I got back from BlizzCon. So I've been streaming Hearthstone since November of 2016, hit rank 5 for the first time in December 2016, hit Legend for the first time using Tempo Rogue, Kel'Seth Tempo Rogue, in August of 2017. I've hit Legend a total of 7 times since, or all total, 5 of them in Standard, 2 of them in Wild. None of the 2 in Wild were with Big Priest. Just you know, Big Priest is not. I still got a number of wins yet to get in with Priest to get a Golden Hero. So I am sometimes the guy jamming Big Priest games in Wild to try and get my Gold Priest portrait, but. I'm currently this month rank 1. I typically am in the kind of probably rank 4 to rank 2 range. I like to play decks that are tier 1, tier 2 decks, try and get better at them, try and help other people get better at them. I tend to switch around a fair amount in the month because I'm streaming. I tend to try and show off different decks, and so I don't stick with a deck for real long, which is to my detriment, because I think we'll talk about the fact that getting really good at one particular deck is definitely to your advantage when you're trying to get to a new level or a consistently high level on the ladder. So That's typically what I'm doing. I stream 3 nights a week, so when I'm not doing this, I'll probably be doing that.
Especially since Conquest is no longer a thing. It's just Specialist. You get rewarded for focusing in on one deck even more now.
Oh, yeah. I would definitely agree with that.
Yeah, you just have to know that deck inside and out and just really know how you want to modify it for your different matchups and specialists, so... So that's kind of the introductions. That's the nutshell of who we are as players. Just wanted to talk about, you know, what we're hoping to accomplish through the podcast. And I just want to kind of give my thoughts and hear what you guys had to think, you know, had to say on that too. So, I mean, I think I said it in the intro when I said we're just hoping to help people get better at climbing the ladder. I know I can use the help because I'm not always the most calm. It's kind of hard to always be calm when you're, you know, just grinding it out. You hit a few bad matchups in a row and you're like, is this all I'm going to see is the deck that beats me? But that's why when I came up with this concept, I went to Nikolai's and I went to Mage. You know, as Nikolai has said, he's a top 200, top 500 legend player, so he knows a thing or two about getting to the high ranks of legend, so it's a good person to listen to, and Mage is already doing this kind of thing, you know, trying to help people out, get better at Hearthstone. So my overall hopes for this podcast is every week you tune in, you can hear something new and hopefully maybe win a couple extra games after listening to us. I'm not expecting you to go from rank 25 to legend, but maybe you can pick up a few things and hopefully, you know, get a few extra wins, get your win percentage up a little bit every month, and that's the way you get better at the game.
Good way of putting it.
Yeah. What about you guys? Did I sum that up, or do you guys have anything you want to add to that?
I think that covered it pretty well. One of my passions is coaching and teaching people how to get better, not only in Hearthstone, but other things as well. And Hearthstone just happens to be something that I'm very good at, so I'm super happy and excited to get this opportunity to help more people get better at this game.
Yeah, I think I'd like to see I'm hoping that with this podcast that we can introduce people to Hearthstone and our love for Hearthstone, and maybe take somebody that's casual, that's just now starting to want to take it a little bit more seriously, give them the some of the things that we've learned over the years that we've been playing to start making those improvements so that they see some results and can point to being like, hey, this is fun, or I'm really learning something here. Or somebody that has never played before, maybe get them into the game to try it out, see how they like it. And selfishly, I'm hoping to learn some things as well, because I find that when I'm helping other people, I tend to learn things along the way as well. And, you know, I think that, you know, we've got a good mix of people here, different play styles. There's definitely types of decks that I don't get how to play as well. And, you know, I'm sure we'll talk about it. Well, there's classes I'm better at than others. Mm-hmm. Talk about all those sorts of things. So I feel like there's just a lot of things that we could talk about, and like you, I want to hear success stories from people. I want to hear people say, you know, I was listening to you guys for a few weeks, I heard some things that you said, and I tried it, and I got to a new high rank, higher than I've ever gotten before, or you know, I got a better chest, you know, I got the better chest, or you know, if we... whatever your goals are, that you accomplish those goals.
Yeah, for sure. I would really like to hear that too, because like you said, like, I am aiming to get better at this too, and I personally, yeah, I think it's really when you're not in the hot seat, when you're not making the decisions for yourself, I feel like sometimes it's easier for you to see all the potential in the moves you can make. So I feel like this is a really good way to, you know, kind of get people to look at the game in slightly different avenues and kind of maybe refamiliarize them or familiarize them with some core concepts and keep things in mind, like tempo and trading and, you know, just being familiar with your deck and what you're trying to do and, you know, always, you know, things like playing to your outs and understanding the state of the game at any point in time. It's a little bit harder on ladder, obviously, because you never really know what your opponent has in their deck. But, I mean, once you start hitting between, you know, 10 and legend, you generally have somewhat of an idea of what's coming if you play enough. So that is something that, you know, those are the concepts that we're going to hope to talk about over the next, you know, however long. And we wanted to start out next week. We wanted to start out going over all 9 classes in Hearthstone. Or as Nikolaus pointed out before the podcast started, all 8 classes in Hearthstone. Because Priest is in a real bad place right now. But we're looking to go over a class kind of in depth every week for the first 9 weeks of the podcast. You know, kind of give you key cards, archetypes, strategies, what to look for, you know, just kind of give you a wide bursting range of knowledge over what's gonna, you know, if you're playing Druid, what are you gonna expect? Like, what are you trying to play? What are you trying to build? What options you can take and how you want to build your deck and, you know, suit a deck to your play style. Because I'm definitely a believer that, I mean, I've watched enough random streamers and, like, Brian Kibler makes the weirdest decks work because he's a really good player and a deep knowledge of the mechanics of the game is something that will definitely set you up. And, you know, playing to your play style or your preferred play style is definitely a good place to start. So we're going to go Druid, and then we're going to start by talking about all the other classes, and we're just going to go down those alphabetically. The downside is we're going to be a little bit behind because Nikolaus is going to be out all August. So we're going to put these out every week. We're going to do a little pre-recording in the month of July. But we're not going to be able to really talk about the new set when it drops in August right away. So,
well, after you guys can. You'll just have to have my section pre-recorded. You guys can talk about whatever you want.
Yeah, I'm thinking we'll just kind of put out our core fundamentals first and then, you know, go from there. But that's not really a big thing. This is only one set of the many to come that we're going to be talking about in the near future. So so that's what to expect over our first 10 weeks, because this is going to be week 1.
Basically, if you've seen the most recent blog post that the Hearthstone devs put out that kind of went over the class identity and kind of talked about some of the basic and classic cards that are being added in. The class identity stuff, we're going to be taking a little bit more of a deeper dive into that rather than just the few sentences that they said of this is their strengths, this is their weaknesses, these are their limitations. Mm-hmm. We're actually going to be going over the key cards, what makes the archetypes viable historically, and yeah, take a deeper dive into all 9 classes.
Precisely. So that's kind of what to give you a quick look at what we're planning on doing with that. So And then for the rest of the show, we didn't have a whole lot. We were just kind of, we just wanted to kind of introduce ourselves and kind of get you familiar with us and, you know, our, a little bit of our banter back and forth. So we're just going to go kind of random here at the end. I know we were talking about Bomb Warrior very briefly here. I've seen people starting to take out the augmented Elix. How do you feel about that, Nikolaios and Mage?
I mean, it depends on what you're seeing. I think it can be a correct decision based, you know, sometimes, especially in Specialist, if you're trying to tech for a specific thing. But when it comes to ladder, I think it's just a mistake to cut either both of them. I think that's definitely a mistake. And I think cutting one is also a mistake, but it's not the worst decision you can make. That'd probably be taking out either one of Dr. Boom's.
Okay.
But yeah, it depends on how you want to exactly play that matchup. There are some people who play Bomb Warrior very aggressively. So they play like Grom and Corcoran elites and more weapons and try to hit you in the face as much as possible.
So like the more like mid-range variant of Bomb Warrior?
Mid-range to aggro, yeah.
There's tempo, I think, is what it's been referred to.
Well, tempo's a weird term, okay. But...
It doesn't necessarily rely on the bombs to to finish you off. Because you're doing a lot of face damage just with your minions.
Yeah. I tend to play the more slow, almost control warrior-like style. That just has the bombs as the inevitability. So that's kind of my win condition. And in that case, it would be a mistake to cut even one of the Alex.
I was going to say, I like a 3-mana 4/3, and it's got upside that it synergizes well with your bomb making that you're doing with your other 3-drop with your wrench caliber and that. So it seems surprising to me that on ladder that you would do it, but I could definitely agree with Nikolaios that in a specialist format where you have more of a defined matchup set, then maybe it makes some sense.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, there's less matchups that you're going to face in Specialist, whereas Ladder, you can face a much wider range of decks.
So what do you feel is some of the bad matchups for Bomb Warrior when you're on Ladder?
The two biggest ones are Bomb Hunter and Mech Paladin.
Okay.
Basically anything that uses a lot of mechs is a tough matchup because one of your biggest tools is Dynamatic, and that just does nothing in those matchups. Along with them being able to abuse the magnetic effect, it's effectively face damage, charge damage.
Yeah.
And Warrior is really good at keeping minions off the board, and that's great when they have to wait a turn to attack you. But if they're able to essentially have charge, you're already taking that damage, which makes it a real struggle. You basically have to keep your health total much higher than you would normally be expecting. And that makes your removal more awkward as well, because Shield Slam isn't as effective. Brawls are typically less effective if there's like one minion on the board that's like a 12-12 or something that's harder to deal with than a bunch of smaller minions that can just be brawled away. When you get to that point, you really have to like hold your breath, hope you get to turn 10 so you can use your Omega Devastator to try and clear things off.
Yeah, that's been my experience as well. I've tried teching in Spellbreaker at least one. I've tried removing a few different things here and there trying to fit in a Spellbreaker. Do you feel like there's merit to that?
Oh, absolutely. It's pretty much the only way you beat it on ladder. When you can't as heavily tech for those matchups as you'd like to, because you know you're not just going to face those decks. You're going to face like the Cyclone Mages and the Freeze Mages and the Control Warriors. You can't go all in on beating the Bomb Hunters.
Mm-hmm.
But running a Silence is extremely flexible. It's not only good in those matchups, but in a wider variety. So I absolutely agree that having a Silence is worth it in a slower Bomb Warrior list.
Listen, you guys already have all the removal in the world. You've got the bombs for inevitability. You don't get Silence too. This is really starting to irk me. I faced a warrior today as Bomb Hunter and actually got owled on turn three. So they didn't even wait till turn four to silence me. They silenced me on turn they only used three mana to do it, and then were able to develop on top of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do prefer Owl for that reason.
Okay.
As far as the slower Bomb Warrior lists are, because you're not as concerned with the body.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's a big thing, especially against the Bomb Hunters, when they need to have that early board. You know, Explodinator is a big reason why that deck is so good. You play Explodinator and then you magnetize a War Gear onto one of the Goblin Bombs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a 5/7 with a charge that also death rattles for two additional damage, combined with the hero power and all that other stuff. It's a lot for the Bomb Warrior to deal with. So being able to have the get the early board is super important for them.
Yeah, I've always noticed that. Like, turn, especially if they have the coin, they can magnetize something pretty easily on turn three. Or if they have the galvanizer on turn two, or even one, if your hand's full of mechs. I've seen that happen before. Mm-hmm. Or it's like coin, galvanizer, Mekaru. There we go. Sorry, it slipped my mind for a second.
We gotta keep you Bomb and Control Warriors honest there a little bit. I've tried Bomb Warrior. I was not as successful with it. I was trying, I think, to play a little bit too passively with a deck that was set up to be a bit more aggressive or tempo-based, at least, and mm-hmm. waiting for the bombs that never came, basically. And so I've gone away from playing the deck, but I do think it's a really powerful and really kind of disgusting deck to play against, so I should probably get better at it.
It's, I mean, Omega Devastator is just incredible.
Yeah.
Especially if you have Dr. Boom up, because you can do 14 damage for Dominion for four.
Yeah, I played the Bomb Warrior just the other day. Four Omega Devastators in the game. No matter what you do, I was playing Freeze Mage, and every time I played a Giant or a Kalagos, it was immediately removed. It was disgusting.
Yeah, that's the issue with Warrior versus Mages. It's just sometimes the Mage or the Warrior can make it long enough that. Yep. Their removal is good enough.
Yeah.
I mean, it's always good. It's just if you can hit them early with a Mountain Giant and then Conjurer's Calling and then the game's gone. Because I know I've had several games as Bomb Warriors where that happens to me in turn five. It's like, well, he's got, you know, a Sorcerer's Apprentice and two Grave Horror and Mountain Giant on the board, and gotta hope that, you know, a Brawl pulls out the Sorcerer's Apprentice, and it's just so sad.
No, I've had a few games the other way where I've been the beat down in that matchup, but when you can't do that, and then the Dr. Boom hero card comes online, and then you get to turn 10, and then you see the Omega Assembly get played, and you're just like, oh no. No, this is not good. This is not good at all.
It just makes you nervous when you see delivery drone come up and you're like, oh my god, like why am I even playing this giant?
What is worse to see when you're going up against the warrior? Is it worse to see the 7 mana or the 7 armor or the delivery drone? I can't decide which I like seeing more like less. Because both of those just feel like they're just insurmountable when those pop up.
Oh yeah, but to be fair, I've also been in the position on the other side where I've gotten Dr. Boom into Blast Shield against Bomb Warrior, and I've still lost. Where it's just like I gained 14 health in a turn, and they're literally able to take it off the next.
Sure.
So it's definitely a balance, but. I think I'd rather see the armor if I'm playing, like, Freeze Mage. Like, Cyclone Mage or, you know, just a Freeze Mage. Because I can punch through
that armor. Yeah, you could take that off armor. Pretty fast.
Yeah, if a giant sticks and I get to Conjurer's Calling, yes, I can deal with that. Sure. If it's a delivery drone into a mega Devastator, then it's like... Well, thanks, he's got thanks, the board and exactly.
Okay.
It's definitely one of those situations where it's a lose-lose situation if you're on the other side of that coin. Okay, so is there anything else you guys wanted to talk about in our first episode?
I think we should anybody that listens to this episode, I would love to hear what they would like. You know, some of the things they'd like us to talk about, even if it isn't in this first 10 weeks when we're talking about all the classes, I'd love to hear some of the questions or thoughts that you'd like us to explore in upcoming episodes, because I think there's a lot of different directions we can go with this, and we want to do something that resonates with you, gives you some of the things that you're looking to hear from us or start to hear from us. So we've got,
We definitely want to get feedback from the community for sure.
Yeah, so we've got a Twitter account and we've got an email account. Do you want to share what those are?
Yes. Yeah. So you can find us on Twitter at Dr3HS. You can email us at Dr3HS@gmail.com. And after this episode goes live, actually probably before this episode goes live, if you follow us on Twitter already, which we've already got a handful of followers, I will be posting the link to our Discord, and I will keep it pinned at the top of our Twitter. So if you ever want to come hang out with us, we created a Twitter or a Discord channel to come talk about the podcast. And it's brand new. It's literally just us three right now. But we are definitely going to be aiming to
plenty of
develop.
Room.
Exactly.
The water's nice. Come on in.
That's for sure. So So go ahead, guys. Let's get out of here. Everyone, go ahead and plug your stuff where people can find you at.
I'm at Nikolaius123 on Twitter. I'm also in the Quaint Concede Discord if anybody else is there as well. Feel free to say hi to me. Send me a DM. Totally down for that. That's it.
they can also get coaching from you at Gamer Sensei, correct?
Yes, I believe I still have that set up, though it's been a while.
So, yeah, look for him on Gamer Sensei if you're looking for some coaching. Mage?
Yes, so I can be found on Twitter. It's at Mageadeath, Mage, M-A-G-E, the letter A, and then Death, pun on Megadeath. And it is that obvious. Streaming on Twitch 3 nights a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 5:30 Pacific time, 8:30 Eastern time. We play all the game modes, Tavern Brawls on Wednesday, usually do Arenas on Friday, but try and do all generally, sorts of stuff. So
you generally do a co-op arena on Friday, if I'm not mistaken.
Try to do co-op arenas. Yes, I really enjoy. I actually just really enjoy co-op gaming in Hearthstone, and so am always down to get together with people and do some co-op gaming and try and learn things, because I think that's, again, it's like how seeing the same situation, two different people can see two completely different lines of play, and it gives you an opportunity to talk briefly about them before picking a direction on how you want to proceed. So
yeah, for sure. Sure. And you can find me on Twitter at Daring Alkaline. I'm on Twitch as well at twitch.tv/Daring Alkaline. I haven't streamed in a while, but I'm hoping once we kind of get back in the swing of things that, like, I did it more when I was podcasting. So now that I'm getting back into podcasting, I'm hoping to get some more hours on Twitch, and hopefully some of you out there can join me. All right, and that's it for Dr. 3 signing off.